Psalm 42 and 1 to 2, the Bible says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? When shall I come and appear before God? Friends, this was not only for David. This is for all of us. This is for every believer. This was not just for David. It is for all of us. Why? Because this right here is a relationship, a true, sincere, genuine, authentic relationship with God. This is what Christianity is all about. Christianity is a relationship with God. That's why I was saying earlier on in prayer that, Lord, may you help us to see through. May you help us to see beyond the programs, the activities, the institution of church. What is it all about? It is all about a relationship with the living God. Following earnestly, fervently, and persistently after God's heart. Following fervently, persistently, and earnestly after God's heart. This is what the young man David was. This is who he was. This is what he was, and this is who he was. From youth, from a tender age, this was David. Right through his adulthood, this is what David wanted. This is what David desired. He never expressed to be desiring anything else greater more than he did the love of God, a relationship with God, a knowing of God, a pursuing of God, a relationship. It's not only for David, it is for you and for me, friend. David sought after God sincerely and passionately. David sought after God sincerely and passionately. He pursued God sincerely and with passion. With passion. All right? He was passionate for God. He was passionate about God. David, right there, there's a conviction to a lot of us today. Are we passionate for God? Are we passionate about God? Are we? Right there is a conviction. How passionate if you are. You and I are for the Lord and about Him. Everything that David did for God, everything that David did in the name of God, it was full of passion. Everything that he did for God, the thing that we are doing for God, do they have passion, if at all? Everything that David did for God and he did in the name of God, it was full of passion. It was heartfelt. He felt it. It came deep within his heart. Everything that he did for God in the name of the Lord, it was willing. It was the willing that came deep down from within him. We are in church today. Are we willing to be here? Were we willing to be here? Or there are some circumstances, or there are some people that cause us to be here today. Or maybe there is a guilt feeling that is within us, that is that knowing feeling in within us that is bothering us, that has caused us to be here today. But not so with David. He was passionate for God and about God and everything that he did for God, that he did in the name of the Lord. And friends, it shows. It shows when you open the Bible and look what David did for God, he did in the name of the Lord. It shows, right? It was heartfelt. And this is why God was always with him. God was always backing him up. Even when David had sinned, God never left him. When you sin, God does not leave you. God hates the sin, but God, he loves the sinner. This is who God is. All right? God cannot love you today and tomorrow you sin and then God deserts you suddenly. That is not God. God desires correction. It desires a repentance. It desires a repentance and that we confess our sins to Him. And that we confess our sins to Him. David was consumed with the desire to know God intimately. David was consumed with a desire to know God intimately. David was consumed with a desire to walk with God intimately, to know God intimately, to know God, to walk with God intimately. Consumed, please, consumed with a desire. Is there anything that is consuming us insofar as God is concerned, insofar as the things of God are concerned? Is there anything that we are consumed by? Anything that we are consumed by? As far as God is concerned, as far as the church is concerned, as far as believers are concerned, or we are just lukewarm, or sometimes we're just downright cold. Christianity without a relationship. Friends, God himself, he approves of this relationship that David had with him. God himself, he approves of this relationship by declaring that he has found David. God himself declaring, the Bible says, God witnessing, bearing testimony to, that he has found David, a man after his own heart. David, a man after God's heart. David, not the man after the blessings of God. David, not the man after the riches that God would give him. David, not the man after the things God would give him, but David, the man after God's heart. What does that mean? Relationship. Relationship, not David, the man who was after God to heal him. There's nothing with that, but no, that's not the first, that's not the beginning point. That's not the genesis, that's not the beginning point. Insofar as Christianity is concerned, it is a relationship. It's got to be about a relationship with God, a relationship with the living God. God himself approving and endorsing this intimate relationship with him. God himself approving and endorsing it. This relationship, this intimate relationship with himself. Why would God bear testimony to this? Why would God give testimony, all right, to say of David, I have found a man after my own heart? Why? Because this is the relationship that God is looking for. He's not looking for the robotic relationship that most of us are giving him. He's not looking for the mechanical relationship that most of us are giving him. He's not looking for the plastic relationship that most of us are giving him. He's not looking for the cosmetic relationship that most of us are giving him in the name of the Lord while we call ourselves Christians, but we do not have a relationship with him. Don't have a relationship with him. Friends, Christianity is a relationship with God. It is an obsession with him. Christianity as a relationship with God is an obsession with God, to be obsessed with him. Have you ever in your life been obsessed with something? An obsession. An obsession is that thing that grips you. It grips you, it grabs you. All right? It grips you and it grabs you. That's an obsession. That's a true living. There's a relationship with God. There's also a living relationship. A living relationship with God is an obsession. It grips you and it grabs you. You want nothing more, nothing better, nothing greater than God himself. And number two, it is to know God intimately and to walk with God intimately. To know God not from afar off. Not just to know God through my pastor. Not just to know God through my church. No. That is fine. That is elementary. That is the entry level. That is the beginning point, that through my pastor I would know God. Through my church I would know God. But what is God's express will is that each one of us would know him for ourselves intimately. When you talk of God, that you would talk about that which you know, not about that which you heard of. I say, when you talk of God, that you would talk about that which you know, about that which you have experienced, and not just talk about that which you heard about. Friends, this is the reason why Mary sat at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus while Martha was overtaken with much serving. You see, Mary was fascinated with Jesus. All right, there was something in her. There's something that gripped and grabbed her that she could not leave. There was a genuine, sincere need to be there to serve. The Lord is in the house. The Lord is here. There's serving that is necessary. But there's something that took over her. This is the same thing that when you're in church, that we are a number, we are many, but that is when something has taken over you, only you can feel that, only you can know that, only you can experience that. When something has taken over you, it's no longer just going to church because church starts at 10 o'clock on Sunday. It's no longer just going to church because I have to be in church. I've got to be in church. I have to go to church. No, 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 no. There is something. There is a meaning that is attached to it. There is a meaning that you have attached to it that is just beyond the normal and the ordinary, that is beyond just the conventional. Mary was fascinated with Jesus. She wanted to know Jesus more and more. She wanted to learn. She wanted to glean from him as much as she could. She wanted to learn. That's why she went and she said, "When you sit, you rest." The world is going on around you because the world never stops. The world is going on around you because the world, it never stops. The world keeps going around, but then you sit, you rest at his feet. The clock stops. For Mary, the clock stopped. She just sat. There were other things that were placing a demand on her, but she did not pay them attention. You see, when something has taken over you, when you've fallen in love with your Savior, when you've fallen in love with your Lord, when you've fallen in love with your God, everything begins to pale in comparison. You begin to sit down, even though there are other things that are putting a demand on you. Such is a relationship and a heart and an attitude that constitutes Christianity. Christianity is indeed a relationship, friends. The psalmist says, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before him?" That part slays me. When shall I come and appear before him? It slays me flat. When shall I come and appear before him? A lot of things are happening around David. A lot of things are happening around the psalmist. A lot of things are going on. There are needs. There are this. There are this. There are a lot of things. But the one thing that preoccupies him, the one thing that is preoccupied by, is when shall I come and appear before God? He can see all these things that are going on. But the one thing that preoccupies him, when is Sunday again? When is worship again? When is prayer again? When will I have an opportunity to open my Bible again? Can you see that? David is given to us by the Lord, is given to us by the Holy Spirit as an example, as an epitome, all right, of the relationship that you and I should have with God. It gives us a glimpse into the heart of God. In the heart of God, God is desiring a heart-to-heart relationship with us, a heart-to-heart, sincere, genuine relationship with us. Not this Christianity without a relationship with God, which actually in itself is not Christianity at all. Knowing God for who he is and for what he is for yourself. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? The psalmist was bowled over with the Lord. He was smitten in love with him. Bowled over, smitten in love with the Lord. When we are in love with God, we increasingly want to spend time with him more and more. How do you know you're in love with God? Because suddenly you increasingly want to spend time with God more and more, want to spend time with God more and more. And when that does not happen, then indeed you are discontented. And it's such a discontent that you will not be able to manage on your own until indeed you spend time with him. I say when you're in love with God, we increasingly want to spend time with the Lord more and more. And this is articulated by the psalmist when he says, "When shall I come and appear before God?" The psalmist was expressing that he wanted to spend time with God. When will I come and stand before you? Not when will I come and stand before my priest? When will I come and stand before my bishop? Not when will I come and stand before my prophet? Not when will I come and stand before my pastor? But when will I come and stand before God? God, do you know how many Christians in the world? I think we've got billions. I don't know how many billions people are professing to be Christians in the world. But how many of them know God and God knows them? When will I come and appear? Not go in Italy to appear. Psalm 27. I will bless you today. Verses 4 and 8. Psalm 27. Verses 4 and 8. Oh Father, that you may revive the hearts that have long given up on you, that have long given up on Christianity, that have long given up on church. Oh Father, that you may revive them today. That you do not change, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our pastors will change on us, our churches will change on us, our fellow believers will change on us, but you, Lord, you remain the same eternally. With you, there is no shadow of turning. Psalm 27, verses 4 and verse number 8. Now the psalmist says, one thing I have desired of the Lord. One thing I have desired, it's a desire, it is a heartfelt desire. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, you see, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. All right? In the house of the Lord. Okay, what is in the house of the Lord? Who is in the house of the Lord? The Lord is in his house. The presence of the Lord is in the house of the Lord. Now, when he says that he wants to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life, he's simply saying he wants to dwell in the presence of the Lord all the days of his life. You see, he was so much in love with God that even as he walked on his 2 feet here on earth, he wanted to live in the presence of God perpetually. And it tells you, this is my desire. And because it's my desire, and the desire is so much, this is what I want to seek. And this is what I'm seeking. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I want to dwell. I want to live in the presence. I want to walk in the presence of the Lord all the days of my life here on earth. I want to be in God perpetually. Now see, it's a desire. It's an all-consuming desire. The psalmist was consumed by this desire. Consumed by the desire to be in the presence of the Lord. Not consumed with the desire to be in church so that your pastor, your prophet can see that you came today. Not consumed with the desire to come to church to receive brownie points. Christianity is about the heart. It's a hard thing, heartfelt. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now he says to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Have you noticed that we always want to behold the beauty of the one that we love? As people, as human beings, we always want to behold the beauty of the one that we love. We are always smitten by the beauty of the one that we are in love with. When people are in love with someone, or when someone is in love with someone, the only thing they see in that person is beauty. They don't see the flaws, no matter how flawed the person may be. But when people are in love, when we're in love, we see beyond, all right? We see beyond the flaws, we see beyond the mistakes. This is the reason why when we fall in love with ugly people, we don't see ugliness, we see beauty, although the person is ugly. Biologically ugly, by appearance they're ugly, but because you're in love with them, this is what it says, beauty lies in there. This is why the psalmist says to behold. Now imagine God is beauty, dazzling beauty personified. Dazzling beauty personified. And the psalmist says, I want to behold. Now, if we can love someone who's not beautiful, now you can imagine how much in love the psalmist was with God. to behold the church, to behold, Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to experience you. I want to spend time, Lord. I want to spend time with you. I think sometimes we've got the wrong end of the stick when we think about David having killed a lion. A young man, a teenager, basically a teenager killing a lion. He says, I've done so with my bare hands. And having killed a bear. What is the secret of that? Where did that stem from? Where did that come from? And where did that flow from? From a living, loving relationship with God. Living, loving relationship with God. God was even protecting him from animals in the field, because David, the thing that he desired so much and the thing that he kept on pursuing, he said that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. He just wanted to be in the presence of God and not to be taken out of it. This is why in Psalm 51, when he wrote this psalm, obviously after he had done the deed with Bathsheba and he had killed Bathsheba's husband, he says, Lord, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Why did he say that? You cannot say, Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me if you didn't have him. It is that presence that David could not imagine himself living without. It is that, yes, I've sinned, the Lord. I've done this. I have sinned. Let me say something controversially. All of us, we will sin. We're living in the flesh. We will not practice sin. We cannot practice sin. It's impossible for one who's born again to practice sin unless they've backslidden, unless they've fallen. He says, Lord, I've sinned. I know that I've sinned, but I cannot, even in my confession, I still cannot imagine myself living without your presence. Oh, come on, church. He cries to God. He cries to God. Lord, I cannot imagine myself. David is one person who fasted not to receive things from God, but to know God. I say David is one person who fasted not to receive things from God, but to know him. But to know him. I think this is the fast that is really pleasing unto the Lord. That we would fast to know the Lord, and that we would fast, that we would love one another. Fast to know God and fast to know to love one another, as it were. Oh, glory to God. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Now, verse number 8, it says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. What is seeking God's face even mean? Seeking God's face. It is seeking his attention. It is seeking to know him. It is seeking to be where he is. It is seeking to be with him. It is seeking to be seen by him. It is seeking to be noticed by him. It is seeking to woo him as one would a lover. To woo him, to woo God, to attract God. All right? That's what it means to seek his face. It is to seek for a relationship with him. That's what it means to seek the face of the Lord. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, will I seek. Let me back up a little bit. In verse number 4, it talks about this one thing that he desires, this one thing that he will seek, that he would dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. Now, there is something amazing there, how much David loved the house of God, how much he absolutely loved the house of God. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ says, zeal for your house has eaten me up, zeal for your house. Now here's the question, we love God so much, how much do we love his church? We really love God, we blow him kisses. We hug him outside We go outside and we hug God. But how much do we love his house? And not only David did he love the house of the Lord, he loved to dwell there. Some of us, when we are 2 hours in the house of God, we want to go. Ons wil weggaan. Just 2 hours, you are enough. You want to go. Yet here's a man who says, I want to dwell in your house forever. I want to dwell in your house all the days of my life. Church is there 7 days a week. How many times do you say, let me go to church and seek the face of God? Because the first and the last time that we see you is on Sunday. The first and the last date, Sunday. We'll never see you again. There is a serious deception insofar as Christianity is concerned. The devil has got no problem us calling ourselves Christians. He's got no problem with people of the world calling themselves Christians. He's got no problem with people who are born in so-called Christian countries. People are saying, because I'm born in a Christian country, then I'm a Christian. No. Because I'm born from Christian parents or family, then I'm a Christian. No. Because my dad, my granddad was a pastor, then I'm a Christian. No. But the devil loves nothing further than to pull the wool over our face. To say, indeed, you are a Christian. Indeed, you are a Christian. But when that day, on that day, on that day that is coming to all of us, how confident are we of our Christianity? Of our Christianity. Is the church still with me today? Christianity that's short of a relationship with God, Christianity at all. Christianity that is short of a relationship with the living God, it is no Christianity at all. It can, in fact, actually be dangerous. Christianity without a relationship with God can be very dangerous. How so? How so, friends? Matthew chapter number 7. Now the Lord says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, the Lord said, that I will say to them, I never knew you. Please underline, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I never knew you. You know what that means? I had no relationship with you. Christianity without a relationship with God is very dangerous. I never knew you. I had no relationship with you. I had no relationship with you. Secondly, Christianity without a relationship with God is tantamount to lawlessness. Notice what he says. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Can you see that? Christianity without a relationship with the Lord, it is tantamount to lawlessness. Tantamount. Depart from me, I never knew you. Friends, how are you a Christian yet you don't know Christ? How are you a Christian and yet you don't know God? How are you a Christian and yet you have no relationship with him? How are you a Christian? Haven't we heard Christians say proudly and loudly that they don't know God? But then, if you don't know him, then you are not his. If you don't know him, you are not a Christian. If you don't know him, you are an ungodly person. If you don't know him, you are an unbeliever. You are actually playing a very dangerous game. Being a Christian without a relationship with him. I'm saying we are actually playing very dangerous games. We are risking our own lives. We are risking our own souls. Being Christians without a relationship with the Christ. Without a relationship, a living relationship with the Christ. Without a living relationship with the God of the Christ. We are playing games, church. We are playing with fire. We are playing with fire. We are playing with fire. One day, we are risking our own lives. We are risking our own souls, playing Christianity without a living relationship with God. On spiel me de fear. To serve Jesus, from the scripture that we read, to serve Jesus. Remember, they said to him, Lord, we've gone out, we did this, we did that, and so on and so forth. And he said to them, notice, he never disputed if they did these things or not. He just told them, I never knew you. I had no relationship with you. You had no relationship with me. All right? So whatever you were doing, you were actually literally practicing lawlessness. Practicing lawlessness. Isn't it amazing? These believers were not called lawless because they sinned. They went out and sinned. They went to booze. They went to do girls. People these days, they went to do boys. And very soon, people will be doing robots. And they are, by the way. No, it's not about that. I never knew you. You see, we are focusing on wrong things. We are focusing on things that we should actually not be priority. We are focusing on not drinking, focusing on not smoking, focusing on not focusing on adultery and fornication and all of these things. No, that will take care of itself the moment we walk into a relationship with Him. That will take care of itself. We need a relationship. We are in a relationship. We are in a marriage covenant with God. That's why He calls us when we miss it, said to Israel when they miss it, He called them adulterers and adulteresses. Why? Because we are actually in a marriage covenant with God. Christianity is a relationship. When you are married to someone, we are in a relationship with them. It is a covenant relationship. Christianity is a covenant relationship. Are we all indeed to call ourselves Christian in a marriage covenant relationship with the Lamb of God? Are we playing church? Playing religion? We are dicing with our own lives. We are betting with our own lives in a game of life and death. I'm saying we are betting with our own lives in a game of life and death. This is a game of life and death that you are betting with your own life. To serve Jesus without a relationship with Him. To do things in the name of Jesus without a relationship with Him. To go out on missions in the name of Jesus without a relationship with Him is not Christianity. We have seen from what we read in Matthew, to serve Him without a relationship with Him is not Christianity. To do things in the name of Jesus Christ without a relationship with Him is not Christianity, church. I say to serve Him, you really can be faithful in serving in church. But without a relationship with Him, if that serving, that service we are offering to God in the church, it does not come from a relationship with God. It is not Christianity. No, you are just serving. You are full of energy, full of zeal. All right? It's not Christianity. And like I said, it is very risky. Acts 13:22. Are we there, all of us? Now the Bible says, and when He had removed him, He raised up for them David as king, to whom also He gave testimony. Listen, God giving testimony. Oh my goodness. Not a human being or human beings giving testimony about us. But God Himself, to whom also He gave testimony, and He said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, a man after my own heart. The Lord knows those who pursue Him for Him. A man after my own heart who will do all my will. Who will do all I want? Can you see that? Whatever we do for God and in the name of God, it must flow from the relationship we have with Him. Come on, it's right there in the scriptures. A man after my own heart, one, then he will do. Do you see where the doing comes from? From a relationship. I have found David as the son of Jesse, right? A man after my own heart, relationship. Now, when he has a relationship with me, then he will do everything that I want him to do. Now, you see, service flows from the relationship that we have with God. This is the reason why he said to these friends, depart from me. I never knew you, you workers who practice lawlessness. Everything that we do in the name of the Lord, everything that we do for the Lord, if we are not in a living relationship with the Lord, we are playing games. We are wasting time. We are killing time. There's nothing in it. There's nothing in it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Let's wrap up today. Let's wrap up. Job 33, verse number 4, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Read that verse slowly and soberly. The Spirit of God has made me, not I myself has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life, gives me, continues to give me life. This is simply to say, without God, we are nothing. The breath of the Almighty, present continuous. The breath of the Almighty gives me life, present continuous. Without God, we are nothing. Without God, we can do nothing. Without a relationship with God, man is nothing. Without a relationship with God, man is nothing. Without a relationship with God, no matter what men can do, no matter what men can achieve, it is all but for naught. It is all but for nothing. Without a relationship with God, a living relationship with God, whatever we can achieve, we can acquire, we can obtain, we can do, without a relationship with God, it's all going to go up into smoke. It's nothing. It's vanity of vanities. Is vanity of vanities. These churches that we start without God, they will all dissipate into thin air. It's only a matter of time. These ministries that we're starting without God, they will never last. They'll never last. There will come a time, there will come a day when they will be revealed for what they truly are. This is it. This is it. Friends, the day and the moment that we realize that we need God and we need a relationship with God. That we need God and that we need a relationship with God. Far much more than the air we breathe. Far much more than the food we eat. Far much more than the water that we drink. The day we realize that when the day and that moment comes and we realize this, then our lives will take a turn for the better. When we come to the realization, that day and that moment when we come to the realization that we actually need God. We need God more than the air we breathe, more than the food we eat, more than all the McDonald's and the chicken licking and the KFC, that we need God more than the water that we drink, more than the alcohol that we drink. When we realize that indeed our lives will take a very good turn for the better. When you realize that actually you need God more than that smoke. Since you cannot live without that smoke. When you don't, you have not spoken, there's a ring that goes on in your head. You don't need that smoke, you need God. I say, don't need that smoke, we need God. Some people, when they haven't drunk anything, they don't feel okay. No, you don't need the drink, you need God more than that drink of yours. But here's a sad part of it. There are still among us who think, there are still among us, sadly, we have not woken up to this realization. There are still among us who think that by praying they are doing God a favor, who think that by reading the Bible they are doing God a favor, by coming to church they are doing God a favor. They think so. They are deceived. They think that by serving they are doing God a favor, by giving they are doing God a favor. No man can do God a favor. You fool, do you not understand what Job says? The Spirit of the Lord has made me. The breath of God gives me life. You're not doing God a favor by reading the word. You're not doing God a favor by praying. God is doing you a favor by reading the word. When you pray, God is doing you a favor by praying. When you come to church, you're not doing the church a favor, you're not doing the pastor a favor. God is doing you a favor. When you serve, it's a favor. It's God has extended his favor. You're not doing nobody a favor by serving. When you offer, when you give, you're not doing the church a favor, you're not doing the pastor a favor, you're not doing God a favor. You have nothing. Everything that you have belongs to God and it comes from God. So how can you do God a favor? It's God doing us a favor. I say, it's God doing us a favor. I say, it's God doing us a favor. Oh, hallelujah. We are nothing without Him. The day we realize this, I kid you not, our lives are going to turn. It is God who does us favors. The Bible says morning by morning. I say morning by morning. His favors to us are new every morning. New every morning. Do you know what Isaiah says? He says, He awakens me morning by morning. God awakens me. Awakens me. All you living people today, it is God who awakened you. All of you here. Those who serve Him and those who don't serve Him, those who know Him and those who don't know Him, those who are pleasing to God and those who are not pleasing to God. The Bible says, David says, He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens me. It's God who awakens human being. It is God who awakens the human soul. When you open your eyes and you, oh, we are awake, it is because of God. Please understand that this is what the Word of God says. We need God more than we'll ever imagine. A relationship with Him. The psalmist understood this. David understood this. Without God and without a relationship with God, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before Him? Today you came to church. Did you come to appear before God? Why did you come? Why did you come? Did you indeed come to appear before God? Christianity, we know all well that it's not a religion. Christianity is a love story. For God so loved. It is a love story. For God so loved. You know, I was thinking now when I was pausing here, I was thinking, my goodness, it's amazing that we started so well by being told about God so loved the world and how we got saved and what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. But instead of continuing in it, we met pastors and churches, prophets and churches, apostles and churches, bishops and churches, evangelists and churches. Okay, maybe not evangelists, because evangelists, they still preach good. Teachers and churches who completely took us out of the right track. Christianity is a love story. It is not about a pastor, a prophet, an apostle making you, bending you. It is a love story. It is God pursuing hard after His people, pursuing our heart after the people that He loves and the people that He made. Christianity is a love story, can I tell you, from beginning to end. Love story, what has happened today? Why do we get ourselves so hurt in churches today? Why do we leave churches today? Because we are so hurt. Can you see what I'm talking about? We have deviated from the main road. We've deviated from the highway. The highway is, this is a love story. This is about God, not about the name of your church. It's about God, not about the name of your pastor. It's about God, not about the demonstration of power or whatever that is. God. As I stop bubbling on today, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you. Can you please go back? I'm begging you. I'm begging you. When you leave today, starting from now, can you please go back to how you got born again? Go back, reconnect. Reconnect. Admittedly, a lot of nonsense, a lot of chamores has happened. Not denying that. not denying that. A lot of genuine, sincere people have done wrong things that they should not have done. Not denying that. Not denying that. No one is perfect, including ourselves. Not denying that. But can you please go back to how you got born again? I'm talking about the people that were really born again. Can you please start from there? Reconnect. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Can you please reconnect? Go back to how it all began. Kofifi FM, how it all began, where it all began. Can you please go back to how it all began? Some of us were not born again with the prophets that have messed us up. Some of us were not born again in the churches of the prophets that are messing the nation up. No, can we go back to simplicity? Can we go back to sincerity? Can we go back to genuineness? Can we go back to when God did not promise you riches? Where you were born again, not because you were promised riches. Where you were born again because he promised to himself. And you started following God without anyone giving you anything. Without any prophecy. Without any of this. And you followed God genuinely, sincerely, and persistently. You were so authentic. You were fervent. You were fervent. You used to walk. Church was so far away, but you could walk. Nobody gave you money. And the reason why you walked to church is because you were in love with God. You were in love with God. And guess what? You never missed a service. You never missed a church meeting. And there's nobody was checking up on you. There was no group leader who was checking up on you. And yet you never missed. Can you please go back? Can you please go back? Church, when you did not worship men, when you did not do anything to be noticed by men, when you did everything for God, whether God showed up or he did not show up, it was not going to mess up with you at all. Because what you did was from the heart. When you did things and served God without acknowledgement, you were not looking to be acknowledged. You were not looking to be thanked. You were not looking to be noticed. You were not looking to be acknowledged. Everything that you did, there was a time like that. You know it. God is saying, go back. Reconnect. Rejoin. Rejoin. You had nothing. Your pockets were empty. You went to God. God found you like that. You went to church like that. Sometimes you went to church without eating. You went back home. And guess what? You got back home. There was still no food. You went to church without food. You come back home. There's still no food. And that did not dampen your spirit. Can we please go back today? And stop being messed up by the nonsense. And stop being messed up by the chamors. Some of us here, we left wonderful pastors here. And we ran after the so-called prophets. Left them. Wonderful servants, wonderful shepherds that God had given you. Those churches have since closed. Because we're running after them loud and shiny things. Not all that glitters is gold. Not all that glitters is gold. Not all that glitters is gold. This is what the Lord means when he says, go back to your first love.